finding traction in our lives every day. And, you know, last week, men, fathers, we talked about finding traction, five P's. Remember what they were to find traction in your life? They're not on the screen. You just got to remember them. Remember, first is prayer, all right? A prayer life, a life of purity, all right? A life of presence, a life of praise, positive praise, and a life of Pentecost. Those are the ways that we can get traction. How many need traction in your life? We all need, the opposite of that is to be stuck. And it's not, it's, the days of being stuck are over. It's time to move forward and get the traction that we need. And one of the areas we're talking about, and we're going to finish it today, if you can believe that, we're going to be finishing up the whole idea of cultivating gratitude in our lives. People who have traction are people who know how to walk in a spirit of gratitude. How many of you would like to have more gratitude in your life? It's God's will for you. See, in the world, it's not like that, is it? As we found, Paul told Timothy 20 things he would find in the world, one of them being ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. Well, we're not the world, amen? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're the church. We're the church. And in Colossians 2:6, so then just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith. And what will be the result? An overflow. How many of you, that's your life? If it's not, you're stuck. You're stuck. Over a life that overflows with thanksgiving, more than enough. It's not my capacity, it's God's capacity in me. When that happens, gratitude takes over. It gives traction in my life. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Why? It's the will of God for you. It's the will of God. It's what God desires for us. He desires us to live in a spirit of thanksgiving. Remember, we're not talking about just any kind of thanksgiving. We're talking about level 4 gratitude. Remember the 4 levels, all right? This is the last time you're going to see it, so tuck it away. Level 1, how many of you are at level 1 or have been there at some time in your life where you're a constant complainer? You see everything that's wrong with everything. Man, you're so negative. We were talking in the first service, while you see somebody walk on water, you're going to say it's because they can't swim. I mean, you're just so negative. You can't ever rejoice with somebody. I hope that's not you. If that is you, God's wanting to move you on from that place. Amen? He is. Level 2, that's the next stop, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to stop complaining, but maybe I'm not real quick to give thanks like I should. I'm really slow. I might pray over my meals, but that's about it. Or level 3, isn't that where most people are? Level 3. I give thanks, but only when times are going good. When everything's wonderful, everything's fine. Man, that's, I can give thanks. But I'm not satisfied with level 3. It's a good place, but I want to move to level 4. How about you? Level 4 gratitude is where you're going to find the most traction. Level 4, where we're going to give thanks in everything. Now, in your insert there, I don't have mine over here. Did you got it inside that you'll see where we've been? I've listed it all out for you, so you got it. You can keep this in your Bible. There's the acrostic. You won't see it again, so hang on to this. People who walk in a spirit of gratitude, these things will be present. G, they understand that grace is in their life, and they have a spirit of generosity. The most grateful people I know are people full of grace and generosity. R, they have an ability to remember what God has done in the past. Sometimes people act like God's never done anything for them. They're not grateful people, are they? But grateful people remember. I remember when God did this. I remember when God did that. We need to write those things down and remember them. A, they have an awareness and appreciation for what God has done in their life. Grateful people see things that other people don't see. You can have two people looking at the same event, and an ungrateful person will see it totally different than the grateful person, right? I want to have the eyes of gratefulness. When I look at things, I can appreciate it and see the things God wants me to see. T, they have a telescope attitude instead of the magnifying glass attitude. The magnifying glass makes little things seem bigger than they are. But the telescope, it takes big things out in space and brings them in close and magnifies them so we can see just how big they really are. I hope that you have a life of gratitude that magnifies God. So oftentimes, and the Lord convicted me in this sermon, Joe, you have a tendency to try to make yourself look bigger than you really are. I want you to stop that. I want you to make me look big in your life. I'm the big one. You're the little one. Don't forget, you're the child. I'm the Father. Okay, don't forget that. We have a tendency to do it. We all do it. Be careful. I, it's an inside job. We talked about the indwelling of the Spirit in our life. Grateful people, people who have the indwelling of the Spirit in their life, are usually have a high level of gratitude. T, people who walk in gratitude know how to turn trials and troubles into triumph. There's all the scriptures there. You can read it. They just have that knack, don't they? A grateful person, you can throw something negative at them. Man, they just bounce back. They use it somehow to do big things in their life. It's just, I don't know how it happened. It's probably a spirit of gratefulness. And you, last time we were together, grateful people know how to stay unencumbered. They're able to lift those burdens off. They don't get weighted down by burdens. Some of you, you can recount the burdens of your life. You can recite them. You've memorized them. You can say them. You can play them over and over again, and it just weights you down. A grateful person just sheds those burdens. Remember the three things you do with burdens. You can either share them, you can shoulder them, or you can shed them. All right, all three are valid. We need to discern. A grateful person knows when to do those things. So here we are, the last two letters. Are you ready? The last two letters, we're going to do it. Delight, delight. A grateful person knows how to walk in the delight of, I don't know why it is, but it seems to be that grateful people have the spirit of delight about them. We'll say, well, what's that mean? Well, Psalms 37:4, it says that delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, what does it mean to delight? Two Hebrew words. It means to bend towards, to be inclined towards an object or person, or to delight or take pleasure in something. That seems obvious, doesn't it? That is delight. And here we have these promises we want to look at today. Because a person of gratitude, if you want traction in your life, you're going to be a person who walks in delight. And you're going to begin with delighting in God. Let's look at that in Psalms 37, verse 4. Yeah. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Who's ready to claim that today? That sounds like a blank check to me. How about you? Wow, I think I'd like to have that. But we often misunderstand this verse. What is it really saying to us? The reason people who delight in the Lord receive the desires of their heart is not just because one causes the other, but because one shapes the other. One shapes the other. When we delight in God, it shapes the kinds of desires that we have in our heart. How many of you bear witness to that? When you got saved, and when you first get saved, you really delight in the Lord, don't you? Oh, man, it's all you talk about. You see somebody with a little fish on their plate. Oh, are you a Christian? Oh, glory to God. Hey, there's a guy with a bumper sticker. Beep, 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 beep. We're just so excited. In the elevator, are you a Christian too? We're just so delighted in the Lord, aren't we? And what happened to you when you delighted in God? Your desires changed, didn't they? They did. Did you notice that? The things you used to delight in changed. And all of a sudden, God began to change your heart, because it's not about an event, it's about a relationship. When you delight in God the way we're talking about, then these promises are yours, because your desires are going to be His desires. It sounds a lot like John 15:7. What did Jesus say? Vine and branches, remember? What did He say? He's talking about abiding in Him. He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Does that sound like Psalms 37? See, but it's the same thing. If you abide in Me, if you're abiding in Him, guess what? You're not going to be asking for frivolous stuff. If you're abiding in Him, your heart's going to beat with His heart. We were talking in first service. We need to be like a young couple who is so in love that their greatest desire is to be with each other. Do you remember the first time your spouse? I was think Connie's not here in second service. But I was thinking about the first time I met her and how I delighted in her. You know what? I still delight in her. Just like that, I'm bent in her direction. My desire, the pleasure that our relationship, and the more we draw closer together, the more powerful it is. It's a relationship, isn't it? And our hearts beat together. Does anybody here relate to that? The more you're together, the more you know each other. Is that true? We become one flesh. We delight in one another. We know one another's heart. We can finish each other's sentences. Is that true? The longer you're together. We know what pleases one another. I know the things I can do for my wife that'll just please her so much. How's that happen? And you know what? Our desires change for each other. It's awesome. But this is a two-way street, isn't it? Here's the greatest part of all about delighting in God. He delights in you. That's what makes it a relationship. It's not one-sided. What's my favorite verse? Zephaniah 3:17. But I read it personal, okay? So forgive me. I'm going to change the words a little bit because when I read it about me. You can do the same thing. He says, the Lord my God is in my midst. He is the mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice and delight over me with gladness. Wow. He will quiet me with his love. He will rejoice over me with singing. It means to twirl about. Glory to God. You mean the God of the universe delights in me? Yes, he does. You know why? Because I'm delighted in him. And we've come together in a relationship. And it's the coolest thing ever. And the closer I get to him, my desires change. All of a sudden, I just don't desire the same things. And it's easy to have my desires fulfilled because they're his. They're his. Psalms 1:1, quickly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in the law? Do you delight in God's words? They can be in many forms. God's given us the Holy Scriptures. I delight in them. Do you? How do I know if you delight in them? Well, how much time do you spend? Are you bent in that direction? Are you drawn to it? Do you spend more time in Facebook than you do in the Scriptures? You know, how about television? How many hours do we spend watching television? What do you delight in? What is it? I can tell what you delight in by what you do. Because whatever your bent is, that's what you delight in. Amen? Hey, I love the Scripture, Jeremiah 15:6. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. So is the Word of God your delight? Do you just love it? Do you love going? Or is it kind of hard? I don't really want to. See, when the more you delight in Him, the more you're going to be drawn to the things that He delights in. And lastly, Philippians 2:12-13. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation because I like the way it puts it, all right? This is so important as far as how do I get there? Lord, how do I delight in Him? How do these desires come? Here it is. Dear friends, Philippians 2:12-13. You always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. If you have a King James, what's it say? Work out your salvation, right? Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. He's working to will and do to you in you for His good pleasure. Here's the great news. You can't do this. God's going to do it. God's doing this. It's His work in us. And as we draw close to Him, He's changing our desires. He's giving us those desires. Have you ever had something just rise up inside you and you wonder where it came from? Maybe it was God, wasn't it? The more we're with Him, the more gratitude that we find in our lives, the more we're going to be aware of His desires. We're going to love the things that He loves. What does God love? He loves His children. Do you? Do you love one another? He loves His church. Do you love the church? What is the church anyway? Is it a building? No, it's people, isn't it? I pray every day, God, fill me with love for your church. God did a work in me about 7 years ago in that respect, and I fell in love with the church again. I kind of got cynical about the church. How about you? Because I could see everything that was wrong with her. I could see everything, and I could give you the list. You know I'm talking to you, don't you? But then God woke me up one day. He said, you know how I feel about the church, Joe? I love her. Yeah, but Lord, she's got all these problems. I know, I still love her. I love everything about her. I dance over her. I sing over her. I delight over her. Why? You know, God's not as frustrated as we are. God's not as picky as we are. He loves His church. He loves His children like you love your children. He loves His church too. And when you spend time with God and you delight in Him, you're going to delight in the things He delights. Does He delight in reaching the lost? Do you? The closer you get to Him, the more you're going to sense it. He delights in ministering to the poor. Do you? To meet the needs of people. As we said, He delights in speaking words into our lives. He delights in worship. Do you delight in worship? Or I'll be glad when this is over. I mean, you know, or do you think this is it, just what happens here? Worship is your life, and you will delight in it. Amen? Now, as we move in this, a heart of gratitude that delights in God also is able to do the last letter. A heart of gratitude will cause you to be free from envy. What's another word for envy? What's its cousin? Jealousy, right? Jealousy. That's right. Envy. And we're going to go to Psalms 37, if you can turn there, because he starts right out. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now, I want you to understand something. Envy is not always negative. If you have a desire to be like someone, or you see something in someone, you see a characteristic or a trait in them, and you'd like to have that in your life, and you want to come alongside of them, that's a positive thing. There's even positive jealousy. Did you know that? Well, God is jealous. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for love. You can be that way in your relationships too. If you really love someone, there's a positive jealousy, but there's this negative envy, a negative jealousy, and it contains a poison in it. It's called resentment. Resentment. Anybody here ever struggle with that? Or am I the only one? Have you ever been tempted with envy? How about ministry? That's a good place to have envy. Pastors get together, what do they talk about? How many did you have in church Sunday? Oh, bless God, I had 1,000. Oh, man. Well, and what happens? They start criticizing, critiquing, picking it. Why? They're envious. They're jealous. They're even, hey, I'm doing all the things you're doing. Why is God not blessing me like that, huh? How about ministry positions? Have you ever wanted a ministry position and somebody else got it instead of you? Were you able to rejoice with them? Because see, resentment won't let you do that. You'll lose your ability to rejoice with other people and be grateful. It will cause you to be ungrateful. You ever had a friend get married and you're still single? And you've been praying to be married and they got married and everybody's all excited, but you're not excited because you're still single. Is it hard for you to rejoice with them? Maybe somebody's expecting, or you see this baby dedication, and you've been trying to have a child, and you can't. Are you able to rejoice with them, or are you resentful? Come on. This is really where we live, isn't it? You ever had a heathen neighbor win the lottery? I have a friend who won the lottery. Lord! Of course, you got to play it to win it. I understand that. I don't do that. But I still think, God, what could we do with millions of dollars, you know? Remember the loaves and fishes. Be careful. Have you ever had somebody stand up and give a testimony for a healing and you're still praying for yours? In fact, you've been praying longer than them. You feel that resentment? Maybe you have a need in your life. And you've been praying, I've been there. And somebody else gives a testimony how God met their need, and I'm going, what is the deal, Lord? Resentment. It's one of the deadly sins, isn't it? Well, in Psalms 37, he lays it all out here for us, doesn't he? He says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off like the grass and wither as the green herb. He says, now, here he shifts. He says, now, instead of being envious, here's what you do. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What are you feeding on? I tell you, if you're envious, you're not feeding on his faithfulness. You're going to be feeding on other things. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. It literally means to roll off onto. All right? Roll your cares over on him. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And then he reads on, for evildoers shall be cut off. He tells what their end will be. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. What are you so envious of? Your name's written in the book of life. I don't want to be in their shoes. Do you? I'm preserved forever. Look, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Shalom. Wow, that's it. I want to give you four quick antidotes, and we can do it real quick. Four antidotes for envy. Are you ready? Here's the first one. When you feel envy and when you feel resentment, confess it as sin in your life. Just confess it. 1 John 1:9, here's your promise. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that right? And how about Galatians 5? What do we know about Galatians 5? Well, that's the book that talks about walking in the Spirit, isn't it? And the fruit of the Spirit. Well, he says in there, hey, listen, the flesh and the Spirit war against each other. And he begins to describe the battle. Guess what's in there? Jealousy. Jealousy is part of the flesh. And we all have to battle it, don't we? How are we going to battle it? We're going to battle it in those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You begin by admitting what that is. Allow God to work in your life. How does that chapter end? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Get this. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Whoa, it's the work of the Spirit, isn't it? It starts by realizing, hey, you know what envy is? It's unbelief. Envy's unbelief. Resentment's unbelief. Because that's what he's saying here in Psalms 37. All these things are true. Do you not believe it? If you believed it, then you will not fret and you will not be envious of others around you. Because your eyes are going to be on God, right? Amen. Here's number two. Ask God to fill you with His love. What's 1 Corinthians 13:4 say? Love what? Does not envy. Yeah, it may not be an envy problem. It might be a love problem for you. I found in my past, people that I envied, I asked God to change my heart and fill me with love for them. And when that happened, I wasn't envious anymore. I could rejoice with them. I could rejoice in their successes. John 2, what's he say? He says, don't love the world or the things of the world, right? No, don't do that. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You need to love the Father in you. If that's true, for all that is in the world, the three things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all those things will make you envious. These are not of the Father. They are of the world. And here's your promise. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What are you envious of? You're going to abide forever. You have the promise of God upon your life. We need God to fill us with His love. Here's a big one. Number three, stop comparing. Stop comparing. Trust God's sovereignty in your life. That'll help you deal with envy. If you're resentful, realize God has a plan for your life. You're right? Amen? John 21. I just love it. Peter, he denies Christ. We know the story, right? And he... Jesus meets him on the beach. It's a great story, isn't it? And he, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? We all know that story, right? But I love the part that comes after that. Because then Jesus speaks to Peter and he tells them, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He spoke this signifying by what death he would glorify God. He just told Peter, you're going to be a martyr for me. And then what's he say? Follow me. Who's getting in line? Anybody? I want to get into that other line, you know, prosperity and health and all that stuff. No, you're going to die for me, Peter. But here's the part, and I heard John Martin speak on this the other day, and I never thought of it this way. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. It was John. He saw John. John, who leaned on the bosom of Jesus. And Peter's about to reveal his heart here. Seeing him, he said to Jesus, but Lord, what about him? Well, what about John? I think Peter thought Jesus loved him best. We'll have to ask him to be sure, but I think that's what... Don't put words in my mouth, Joe. What about that man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? Then he said again, follow me. Follow me. Get your eyes off other people. Stop comparing. You know what Peter's saying? It's not fair. It's not fair. Have you ever felt that way? My life's not fair. And resentment rises up in you, and envy. And you look at other people, boy, I wish my life was like that or like that. Jesus is saying it's none of your business. Just keep your eyes focused. And lastly, the last one. Do we have another one? There it is. Ask God to use you to bless others. And that's where Elma read the scripture today. I love that story about the loaves and the fishes. See, I think one of the greatest ways you can overcome envy is to start blessing the person you're envious of and start being able to be excited about their life. I found this quote in Leadership Magazine by Bill Beers. He said when he has to deal with envy, he said one of the things he does, he takes that person he's envious of, and he says, I begin to think this way. He says, I think about their success. I plan for their success. I pray for their success. I genuinely hope for their success. I work for their success, and I rejoice in their success. It's the greatest antidote to envy. Because the problem is what envy takes away from us is our ability to rejoice with other people. Philippians 2, we need to put other people's needs before our own, right? That their needs come first. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because pride gets in the way, and that's where envy finds the good soil to grow in. Because, man, you make it all about you. And really, God just wants you to give your life to Him and just let Him bless other people through you. Yeah, but I want to be blessed. Well, start blessing other people. And you will be. Start giving of yourself. But you're like that little boy in the story, aren't you? But all I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not enough. But Jesus said, give it to me. You're looking around comparing. You're envious about what other people have. Well, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Stop. Just let God use you to bless others. You say, but I got needs too. Yeah, I know. But as you meet other people's needs, I'll tell you, you'll be amazed. You start worrying about other people's problems instead of your own. All of a sudden, things begin to happen that you never thought would happen. We're going to come to the table this morning. And this is a table, I believe, of delight. Because everything here represents what Jesus has done for us. Why would I be envious of another person when Jesus has given His life for me? I'm going to live forever. I'm going to inherit the earth. Hello, what do you believe? Isaiah 53:6, we are all like sheep who have went astray, but God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What do you have to be envious of? You are a child of God. God delights in you and you delight in Him. You need to get your eyes back in the right place and move into that relationship of delight in Him. It'll change how you see things, and life will take on a whole more exciting place. God doesn't want you to be frustrated. He wants you to, listen, grateful people enjoy life. And some of you, I don't think you're enjoying it. You're just surviving it. God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive. You're not fighting for success. You're fighting from success. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. God has already done this for you. You need to read Psalms 37. Listen, this is all for you. Trust Him. Delight in Him. Commit your way to Him. Rest in Him. And what's the end result of verse 11? You will have an abundance of peace. That's what grateful people have. And let me tell you, it's the greatest greatest tool to evangelize that you have is to walk in a spirit of gratitude. People would be drawn to it. Amen? As you delight in God, people will see it. You're not going to be envious. Instead, you're going to enjoy what God is doing right now in your life. He's got, what is it? Stop comparing. Just let God do it. Amen? Bring your loaves and fishes. Rejoice and delight in Him today. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to share with this precious congregation. Lord, forgive us if we've fretted. Forgive us if we've been envious and jealous of others. Forgive us if we've not been able to rejoice with others. Maybe that person at work, they got ahead of us. we thought we deserved it more. Lord, maybe in that ministry position, Lord, or an unfulfilled expectation that others seem to enjoy and we don't. Father, I pray today that you would lift our hearts and let us see it the way you see it. Let us start by delighting in you. Change our desires. Free us from envy. And Lord, let us walk in gratitude and give us the traction we need in our lives to do all that you've called us to do. We come to your table this morning. We dip the bread in the cup and we rejoice over what's been done for us. We are grateful people. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. So grateful. And we love you and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the way to church this morning, sorry, my good friend texted me, and it was friends with the wife and of the director of the House of Living Waters, House of Prayer here in Wichita, that have a heart for 24/7 prayer. And it was the text about her daughter, whose her daughter and husband live in Arizona, Prescott, Arizona, and the fire was 147 miles from them in the church. And so to be able to tell, you know, to tell Joe, you know, and to ask for prayer, to know, who knew, God knew, that Joe's nephew was the chief of police in Prescott, where the fire was, and that he was able to send another group of firefighters to help them where they were. And she just texted me just a minute ago, because I let her know, and, you know, hey, we're praying. Gosh, Joe knew. Joe's nephew's the fire chief in Prescott. And she said that she said, thank you so much. I sent that message to my daughter and her husband to let them know, to have encouragement, and that the church was supporting them. So you guys, we're the body of Christ. You know, God sees when you're in, you know, in a fire, but things are going on. That was God. That she sent me a text. And it's like, we gotta let Joe know. Now we know. God sees. And we're a body of Christ to help each other. And we are helping this brother and sister in Arizona be protected from the fire there.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God has to go from Arizona to Wichita, back to Arizona again. See, God controls all the moving pieces. You just think you do, but you don't. There's so many moving parts you can't possibly, but God knows. And he's letting people know, I am aware of your situation. I'm aware. And even, and let's be honest too, because sometimes bad things happen to good people, okay? It just, and still, you could still delight in God. He's still delighted in God because he's able to work through even negative things. And I remember one time a lady got up in a church where I was preaching and gave testimony that her nephew was in Iraq and was in a I don't know what you call it, small 10 soldiers, and they were marching and they had an interpreter out front. And she said the interpreter came to the back and called her nephew back about the time a bomb exploded up front and killed all those guys. And this mom, this grandmother got up and she said, I just want to give God praise for saving my nephew. And I was sitting there thinking, what about the others? What about the others? Were they Christians? Did they have people praying for them? And so we stopped the service and said, you know, let's pray for the others too. We can give it because there's going to be loss of property. You know, just have... But God's going to be there, and no matter what happens, he's going to work to his glory. This is awesome. He's just letting us know, I'm aware, and I can work things, and if you'll just delight in me, I'll take care of things. You believe that? Can you put your trust in him today? Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And would you come up here if you need prayer? We're going to stick around for a while. If you need healing in your body, you're here and you don't even know Jesus. You said, somebody brought me here. I don't even know what this is all about. But I want to respond to that. Please come. We want to pray with you. We're not in any hurry. We're not wanting to rush off. We'll stay here and minister to you. Take advantage of the body of Christ. It's God's gift to you. Amen. God bless you as you go. We love you. Thank you for being here.